Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor by William Gurnall, the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We've been talking for some time about the Christian's spiritual shoe, and today we will have the last of that topic. Next time, in a few days actually, we will start volume 3. And another item of the Christian's armor. Let's finish this chapter first. Peace with God encourages self-denial. Now, we were talking about how gospel peace prepares the Christian for suffering. We said that gospel peace lifts the believer above danger, that a person at peace with God becomes his child. A soul with God's peace is an heir of God. And peace with God, well, makes faith invincible and fills the heart with love for Christ. And today, again, peace with God encourages self-denial. Self-denial is a grace so necessary to suffering that Christ lays the whole weight of the cross on its back. He says, "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Some Christians, like Simon of Cyrene, may be compelled to carry Christ's cross after him only a short way. But the self-denying saint will stoop to his knees and wait for Christ to lay this burden on him. Now, there are two ways that peace with God empowers the Christian in the kind of self-denial which prepares him for suffering. A, this peace enables the Christian to deny himself in his sinful self. Sin may well be called self because it cleaves as close to us as our human body. It is as hard to mortify a lust as it is to cut off an arm or leg. And yet, when Christ and the Christian feast together with the hidden manna of pardon and peace, he can ask for the head of the proudest lust of all and take it with less regret on the part of the saint than Herodias felt as she demanded the head of John the Baptist. There is no other key like love to open the heart. When love knocks at the door and expresses kindness, there is little reason to fear rejection. Esther, for example, persuaded her husband's heart against Haman, her enemy, as she showed strong love to Ahasuerus at a banquet. And God demonstrates his love to Christians each time he entertains at the feast of his gospel. Surely this is the time he prevails with his children to send the cursed Amalekite to the gallows, that is, lust, to its execution. After Jesus' blessed words of forgiveness fell into Mary Magdalene's grieving heart, do you think she could have been persuaded to leave the embraces of his love and open the door to any of her former lovers and to whoredom again? She would have chosen martyrdom first. That one love which makes the saint deny a lust causes him not to deny a cross. B. This peace enables the Christian to deny carnal enjoyments. To the same degree the person burns in desire for worldly pleasures, will he tremble in frustration when Christ requires him to part with them. Just as the sweet wines and dainty fare of Capua eventually weakened Hannibal's soldiers, carnal pleasures will weaken the boldest Christian warrior so he can no longer look his enemy in the face. Gospel peace deadens the heart of the believer to worldly temptations so he can deny the most promising benefits the flesh offers. Paul put it this way, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Galatians 6:14. His heart was dead to the world, and the cross of Christ was the weapon which inflicted the lethal wound upon his carnal affections. Now, there was a time when Paul loved the world as much as anyone else. But when God's mercy pardoned his sins and received him into favor and fellowship with himself. He abandoned his lusts to let the heavenly Lord and King reign with peace in his soul. No one can turn away from thirsting after fleshly enjoyments as fast as the person who has his mouth at the fountainhead, the love of God himself. A loving wife can forget friends and leave her father's house to follow her husband, even into a wilderness or a prison. How much more freely, then, should a Christian say goodbye to life itself and follow Christ, especially when the Comforter spreads the sweet presence of joy along his most lonely paths. And then number 7, peace with God promotes the suffering grace of patience. Suffering is not grievous for a patient Christian. In fact, patience has been called the grace which digests affliction and turns it into healthful nourishment. Weak stomachs prefer bland diets, but strong stomachs never refuse any meat set before them. All fare is alike to them. There are some things which are hard for the spirit of man to digest: reproach, prison, death, to name a few. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended, said Jesus in Matthew 13:21. Usually this kind of hardship will not stay in the stomach of a weak-spirited person, but makes him throw up the most vital food he should strive to keep, his profession of Christ. The patient person, however, makes his meal of whatever God's sovereignty brings. If peace and prosperity are served up with the gospel, he's thankful and enjoys the abundance while it lasts. But if God replaces these with sour herbs of affliction and persecution, they will not make him sick with despair. He simply eats larger servings of the gospel, so his bitter herbs go down wrapped in divine comfort. Christians, then, must rely on consolations that flow from the peace of the gospel if they are to be a consistently patient people. It would be impossible for God's children to endure the persecutions they meet from men and devils without the sweet help of a sense of God's love in Christ, which glows at their hearts in inward peace and joy. In fact, the apostle reveals the secret of the saints' patience, hope, and glorying in tribulation. It's in Romans 5:5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Sin, on the other hand, makes suffering intolerable. A light cart moves over the marsh easily, but one weighted down with a heavy load sinks until it stops. In the same way, guilt overloads the soul and makes it bogged down in suffering. But when the cumbersome guilt is lifted and God speaks peace to the soul, the person who once raged like a madman under the cross will carry it without a whimper. It's worth repeating here: the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. The next section, gospel, peace, and patience. Number 1, patience in affliction without gospel peace. Sometimes we see strangers to this gospel, ignorant of Christ, the peacemaker, who are nonetheless calm and quiet during affliction. If these people had any idea of the seriousness of their spiritual condition, they would not have a shred of patience, realizing that God will throw them into hell before he is through if they do not repent and believe. When I watch a person run over rough stones barefooted without complaining, I do not admire his tolerance. No, I pity the man who has so numbed his feet, as it were, by clothing them with dead flesh, that he has lost all feeling and cannot sense the pain which signals very real danger. What good does medicine do in a dead man's mouth? If a person will not be convinced of his critical condition, even the most diligent efforts to restore his health are useless. And if afflictions, the most forceful medicine of all, leave the person oblivious to his spiritual need, there's not much hope left for him. And number two, profession of gospel peace without patience in affliction. Inasmuch as the believer has peace from the infallible sense of God's love in Christ abiding within, he can submit to any suffering that God might choose for him. This is why we must test our peace and comfort. If you have no heart to suffer for God, but choose a sin to escape a cross, your peace is false. And if you have only limited patience under normal afflictions, if you strain to keep your spirit from murmuring and your heart from sinking, your faith in the promise is precariously weak. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small, Proverbs 24:10. And then the last section, tenderness of a Christian conscience. Keep this peace unbroken, and it will keep your heart whole when all the world shatters around you. As long as it rules in your heart, you are safe from every fear, in prison or at a fiery stake. But if you allow it to be wounded, your enemies will rush in upon you as Simeon and Levi ambushed the men of Shechem. It is a sad thing to go into suffering with a sore, infected conscience. Even a tiny thorn in the traveler's foot makes the smoothest road hard for him to walk. And guilt in the conscience brings severe discomfort to any Christian, especially one who is suffering. Now, if you want to make sure your peace will remain unbroken, set a lifeguard about it. The most beautiful flowers are the ones which require the most care. And the richer the treasure, the more we protect it. Surely you will agree that God's cherished peace is worth anything you must do to keep it safe. The Savior taught that worldly goods such as silver and gold can be lost in two ways, by thieves breaking in and stealing them, and by rust corrupting them. There are two similar ways that a Christian can lose inward peace. Number one, presumptuous sins are thieves which steal comfort. When the Christian boldly walks in sinful choices and then thinks he can console his aching conscience with his pardoned estate and interest in Christ, he finds the cellar door to God's comforting promises locked fast. Christ has withdrawn and taken the keys with him. Because of pride, uncleanness, and earthly mindedness, he may even cry out in strong tears, as Mary did when she could not find Jesus' body. "They've taken away my Lord," she said, "and I know not where they have laid him." Be careful, then, to defend yourself against these thieves called presumptuous sins. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, Proverbs 20:27. Has God lighted your candle and warmed your spirit with the sense of his love? If a robber from hell is allowed to touch this candle, your comfort will be snuffed out. Have you fallen into the hands of presumptuous sins which have stolen your peace? Then do not waste any time sending sincere repentance after them and raising a strong spirit of prayer and supplication to God. As I have already warned, there is no time for delay. The farther you let these sins go without repentance, the harder you will find it to recover your peace and joy out of their hands. And yet know this, as you humbly return to God, he is ready to restore to you the joy of his salvation and exact justice upon the enemies of your soul by his mortifying grace. And number two, negligence is the rust which ruins the strength of peace. It is impossible for the Christian who is careless in his walk, infrequent or negligent in his communion with God, to enjoy true peace and comfort very long. Maybe you are not pouring presumptuous sins upon your joy to quench it. Well, you are not to be praised. Your failure to feed it the oil of communion with God is enough to eat the heart out of your comfort. You can murder your own peace by starving it as well as by stabbing it. Well, he surely knew how to put words together, didn't he? We will be hearing more of those words as we go to Volume 3. As I said, it won't be next time. I'm going to take just a few days off. Now we're in real time. It's July 16, 2024, July 16. We'll pick up on this in just a few days. This is Tuesday. We won't have our regular Thursday reading, but we'll continue with this on Sunday. Volume 3, which begins the next element of our armor, the spiritual shield, taking the shield of faith. We'll talk about that in detail. I hope you'll be able to join me then. Meanwhile, thank you for listening. For more audios that I believe will bless you, go to the top of my webpage. Click on the word series and choose from the list of over 200 topics that represent 3,500 audios. Our daily readings are retrievable as a podcast, and you can download the app. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.